Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Proverbs 24:3-4. Bishop Patrick Bruce is a seasoned minister of the gospel, bringing decades of experience in pastoral and administrative leadership. He is a man of great wisdom, humility, and faith. He is the senior pastor of Grace Cathedral, a thriving community church under the Dag Heward Mills Ministries, located in Apramasi in Kumasi, Ghana. Now, let's hear him.
What it means to be a Christian. And last week we began, there are 20, I was talking about active, practical evangelism, being a soul winner. And I said there are 20 steps, 20 keys. I gave you 10 last week, and this week I'm giving you the other 10. And I think it's important. Father, thank you so very much for all that you have given us. There are many things we don't understand, many things we don't fully appreciate. But thank you for your patience. Thank you for your guiding us step by step, holding us by the hand to lead us to the place where you want to take us. And thank you for turning us around to become exactly who you want us to be. Bless us, O God. Bless us mightily. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Today, God is doing something beautiful in our midst. But what He's looking to us to do is that you must be a soul winner. Hallelujah. That is the calling. That is the calling that he has given to us. That is the only thing he really expects of us. That is what you are supposed to do. That is all that is required of us to be soul winners. Amen. I didn't hear your amen. But I want you to recognize this thing, that Jesus's crucifixion took place in a little corner of the world, but soon after it was everywhere, and there was no internet, no radio, television, nothing, but the word spread and went to every corner of the known world at that time, because a few people were willing to carry it. And the pattern hasn't changed. And the pattern hasn't changed. Because what, you see, those of you who are counting on radio and television to preach for you, if you like, open the radio and see. There's more rubbish than sense. No, if you are hoping for TV to be the carrier of the gospel, when you open TV, you'll be amazed at the immorality and the corruption. That is the vast majority of what comes out. So if somebody was to, at random, open the television or open the radio, what he will get is not positive. Hallelujah. Those who watch TV still, I don't know what you are watching. Yeah, I don't know what you are watching. Because TV... it's very, very difficult to watch TV now. Oh no, I don't know the last time I watched TV. So listen, what it means to be a Christian, an active, practical soul winner. Amen. Last week I gave you 10. Do you have those 10? You have the 10, eh? Have you forgotten them or you've kept them? How many have read it even once since last week? Can I see your hand? You've gone through even once since last week. Only the pastor who is the anointed one. All the rest. Look, tell neighbor, cheer. I'm not surprised you're not doing too well in life. Look at you. I'm not surprised. Because the keys to well-being are this. This morning, when I was coming, I was asking Pastor Sean, do people link their serving God and prosperity? I don't think so. I don't think so. Do people see a connection between you serve God and then somehow things will go well in your life? When I say blessed, people have some supernatural, spiritual ideas. So I don't know how to say it again. But things will go well in your life now, you understand. And I was just wondering, ask your neighbor, not you, do you think people link serving God and prosperity? What do you think? What do you think? Do they link it? I don't think so. I don't think they link it. I think that people rather link hard work. Or that one there is not our style. But people rather look at efforts and trying as a way to success. People rather see what can I do more as a way to success. And you see, by the grace of God, I've lived for a few years now, and I have seen multiple times repeated that this way of thinking, it will end in a disaster. It will end in emptiness. It will end at a place where you wonder, where's all my efforts? Because I've tried. And truly you tried. Oh yes. Never tell people they are lazy. Very, very few people are lazy. Very, very few. Many appear lazy because they are unsuccessful, because they are not doing well in life. And so your explanation for them not doing, somebody wrote an exam, he didn't pass, he got D or E. You say, oh, you didn't learn. You are fooling around, you didn't learn. But probably he learned more than you. Very possibly. He spent more time at the books. He spent more time at the table reading, lying down, spreading more time, but it didn't end in results. Because it's not by power or by might. It's not. But somehow, I have not been able to get a lot of people to understand this thing. Somehow, people hear, but don't believe it. And if you believed it, as for hearing, they have heard. As for believing, it is only clear when your life changes after what you have heard. But when you hear and nothing changes, you have not believed it. You have only heard it. Amen. You have only heard what you heard, but it has not entered into you to cause there to be a change in your behavior. But I'm really hoping that we who are here, you will believe that serving God, the scripture, Acts 10:38, it is more blessed, 10:38, it's more blessed to give than to receive. I really hope that we believe that scripture. It is more blessed to give your time to God, to give your money to God, to give your energy to God is more blessed, because trying what you can try yourself, it will not often succeed very well. Hallelujah. But this morning, let us continue with 10 more steps to active, practical soul winning. Hallelujah. Number 11, seek Holy Spirit guidance. This is about being an evangelist, a soul winner, practically. Seek Holy Spirit guidance in where to go. Seek Holy Spirit guidance in where to go. Acts 13 and verse 4. Barnabas and Saul were sent out by the Holy Spirit. They were sent out by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Acts 16 and verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and he prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Amen. So the first key for this today is that the Holy Ghost must guide you into evangelism. It is his work. It's not your work, it is his work. So if he is doing what he is doing, he must be able to tell you where to do it. He must be able to guide you what to do. It's not simply get up and go. When we say we are going to evangelism, maybe we don't say it well, but you see, when I say let's go and eat, do you know what has happened before? Somebody has cooked, but we didn't mention that one. We said let's go and eat, so we just get up and go and eat. But before you can go and eat, somebody must cook or buy the food and put it there. So when we say let's go on evangelism, tell your neighbor, assume automatically there must be prayer. Hallelujah. And he must guide us where to go. When I go on evangelism, often I just walk. I walk walk around, and as I'm walking, I'm asking God where. And then sometimes he will just say, stand here, just wait here, or this. He always answers. He always answers to guide us, to guide me what to do next. He will say, stand here, or that man there, or board this bus, or sit here. So if you want to be successful, there must be an asking the Holy Spirit, what should I do? Where should I go? And he will answer you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Number 12. You see, what we often do is street evangelism or talking to people. This point 12 is very important. In fact, 12, 13, 14, they are very important points. Okay? Listen to this. Evangelism is not always hit and run. It's not talk to one person, then move on. No. Evangelism is not always hit and run. Some major people require repeated encounters. Some major people require repeated encounters. Acts 14 and verse 3. So Paul and Barnabas stayed in Iconium a long time. A long time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to understand that it's actually rare that we go on the streets, meet one person, talk to him once, then you are finished. It's actually very rare. But that's how come that has become almost a pattern. And we are very happy to go on the streets, meet a person, talk to him once in a taxi, at the high street, at the shops, talk to him, preach to him or something. Then we go away and we don't see him again. And we are very happy. But that is not effective evangelism. Amen. Oh, I said amen. Because very often, you may have to see a person more than once. You may have to talk to a person more than once. You may have to explain to him, and then he'll go away. Then he'll have questions. Then you may have to see him again. Tell your neighbor, do not be satisfied with hit and run. Do you know hit and run? Knock him and run away. Say something and run away. Talk to a person once about being born again. Listen, you got to give your life to Jesus. You have to bow your knees to Christ. Then you talk to him. Then you go away. And that's the end of it. No. It's rarely successful. It is rarely successful. And that is why many of us say that it doesn't work. I went out to people, I talked to them, and nobody came. Today you had evangelism, walked the whole area, we preached to a lot of people, but next day nobody came to church. It doesn't work. Next time we call for evangelism, people don't want to come again. Why? It's not working. No, you're making a mistake. Some of them, you have to talk to them several times. Then maybe on the seventh time, then he will now say that I believe. Amen. Maybe on the 18th time. Ask your neighbor, you, how many times were you spoken to before you gave a life to Jesus? Ask your neighbor, how many times? As you are sitting here, as if you the first time you heard, no, they became born again. Tell me, you are among the stubborn hard nuts. Those who were very difficult to convert. That's you. I said, that's you. Amen. Amen. So evangelism is not always a one occasion event. It is something that happens repeatedly. Amen. Look at this one. Number what? 13. Mark people who are open and listening to what you are saying. Mark them. Acts 17 and verse 11. And the people in Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica. As you are speaking, always look at the faces of, and you see, you find different reactions. Some are bored, some are chewing gum, some are not minding you at all, some are even angry. You will have different reactions. It's normal. It is normal. But mark the one or two people who, when you are talking, they are looking at you and they are listening. Mark them. Amen. I think I told you last week that God has prepared some people's hearts. Some people, they are just waiting for someone to talk to them. They have had their dreams, encounters, challenges, whatever it is, and in their hearts they are ready, but they don't know where to go. And that's how come sometimes you see somebody has become a hardcore bad boy or something. In his day of questions, nobody was there. Then he met the wrong person who said, listen, I know a certain girl, she can help you solve all your problems. And then he was taken away in that area. Because in his moment of need, there was no Christian. And I tell you, people around us are suffering. Oh, people around us are really in. I mean, okay, I'll show you. Exams week is a beautiful time for evangelism. Because you yourself are also hot, you don't think about it. Exams week is a time when people are under different kinds of pressure, stresses, and things. So it is, if I have time, I will show you 5 ways to do evangelism. One of the ways is to pray for people. It's to pray for somebody. Yeah. Who do you pray for? A person who is okay? No. A person in trouble is the one you pray for. So I'll give you a key. Look for people who are in trouble. Look for people who are financially in trouble, have broken up with their girlfriend or something, have failed a paper. Look for such people. When you find such people, and you see, I'll tell you, don't just offer to pray for him. Say like, oh, listen, let me pray for God to touch your heart. You say, oh, I'm not a prayer warrior. No. If God doesn't hear your prayer, brother, stop the Christianity and go and do Islam. Yeah, if you pray and your prayers don't work, what should you do? Give up. Go and find girls and find drink and find acquaintanceship and find what again? We and find, go and blow your life. Because if God is not answering your prayer and God doesn't recognize you, what are you doing sacrificing for him? Oh, you don't get me. How should I say it? I should say it well. If you are a Christian, tap your neighbor. If you are a Christian, you should pray. And your prayer, at least one or two must work. I didn't hear amen.
Amen.
Please hold your neighbor's dress and say, if you are a Christian. No, let's change it. If you are a proper Christian, not a pseudo Christian, not a false Christian, not a shabby wolf in sheep's clothing. If you are a proper, no, I'm telling you, I'm very serious. Hold your neighbor, look at your neighbor. If you are a proper Christian, at least one or two. At least one or two of your prayers must work. If zero work, I advise you, stop. You are doing a business and you are making loss every day and you are still doing a business. What are you? What are you? I won't say, but what are you? Yeah, fool, not me. I won't say who said it. You are doing a business and every day you are losing, and you are still doing their business. Clearly, your head is not correct. There, at least, you are doing a course every semester. You are getting 9, 9, 9, 9. You are trailing every semester. At least, be wise enough to change course. Did you hear me? I said, be wise enough to know that this course is not for me. Maybe I like medicine, but anatomy, you are failing. Biochemistry, you are failing. Physiology, you are failing. All those courses, you are failing. But then the maths, you pass the maths. Then you pass the physics. Then you pass. Look, advise yourself. Change the course. Go and do engines. Or go and do something else. But you're going to force and say, I want to be a doctor by force. It will take you 15 years to finish the MBCHB. You're not called to it. Amen. I hope you are understanding me. You see, sometimes when we come to church, we are hoping for a nice message. You see, sometimes I want you to hear the truth, and then you decide what you want to do. You decide whether I will continue or I will. And you say, I can say all the nice, I can say nice things, or I can, but that's not what I want to do. Hallelujah. So, number 13. Find that person. Find the person who is open. Once I met three boys at the junction, and as I was talking to them, one had bowed his head on his phone. He didn't get up, cried. The other was just talking by heart. And then one of them was just looking at me quietly. I said, this is the one. So I just held him. I mean, we're three talking to three of them. I said, you guys keep talking. I held him by the shirt and I pulled him aside. When I was going to say, hey, don't come. I'm not calling you. I'm calling him. I held him aside. I said, listen, let's talk. I know you are worried about your soul. He said, yes. These other guys are not even thinking about their soul. They're not even thinking about the heaven. They are just thinking of how to Mantama High Street boys. What are they thinking about? Enjoyment and happiness. But I said, you, from our discussion, you are thinking about your soul. He said, yes. I said, good, let's talk. Look at their faces and find the one whose face is open and responsive. When you call the one who is not minding you, you are wasting your time. When you call the one who is arguing back to just be a heated discussion, that's all. Who born God? Where is God from? Who born the angels? How come Lucifer, God doesn't destroy Lucifer? It's God's fault that Lucifer is tempting us. God, hey! When you have those arguments, where are you going? It will just derail the whole discussion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number 14. Because of this, be ready to move on and leave some people. Because of this, some people, when you start talking to them about a very serious salvation and they are arguing back, move on. No apologies. No regrets. Don't feel bad. That is the right thing to do. Move on. Amen. Don't say I failed. You have not failed. This is the way to do it. This is how to do it. When somebody is arguing with you, very difficult, very stubborn, even asking cantankerous questions, move on. just walk away. Acts 18 and verse 6. But they disagreed with what Paul was teaching and started insulting him, blaspheming, insulting him. So Paul shook the dust from his clothes and said, if you are not saved, whose fault? Whose fault? It will be your own fault. And you, I have done all I can do. Walk away. I'm not hearing amen. Sometimes we Christians, you are nicer than God. You are trying to save every single person. Let me tell you, I've come to agree. Okay? I've come to agree that a lot of people go to hell. I've come to agree. Let's agree. Shall we agree? Shall we agree? Hey, you mind me? Shall we agree that what? That what? A lot of people will go where? Oh, you say, are you afraid to say it? Shall we agree that a lot of people will go where? Will they have a good time? Will they suffer? Will they suffer? They will suffer pitifully. They will really, hey, the suffering they will suffer. A lot of people will really suffer. They will be screaming. They will be shouting in hell. And they are not a few, they are a lot. Do we agree? Great. Let's also agree that none of my friends will be in that group. That's all. None of my friends and my family will be in that group. Hey, do you want to see your mommy screaming? Your mommy is in the fire doing fire dance. No. Do you want to see your daddy screaming? Or your little brother? Or your kid sister? No. But do we agree? A lot of people are going to hell. No, or you don't mind me again. Do you agree? A lot, you see, listen. This is the reality. There are a lot. There are a lot. I think it is the majority. I think it is the majority. Bible says, broad is the road, and wide is the gate, and many there be that go on that road. That goes to where? To destruction. Who said those words? Jesus himself. And you see, Jesus' words are accurate. They are not uncertain. No, because he was there. He has seen it. He's describing what he has seen. And narrow is the road. And straight is the gate. I mean, it's tight. Not some wide gate. It's a narrow gate. And few. Uti asi few. Hey. Do you understand few? Yeah. So when I go to a church and we are few, I'm not disturbed. It's the Bible. But your people, tell your neighbor, your people. Your people. I don't know who your people are. Your friends, your loved ones, your relative, your husband, your children, your wife. They must not be among the many. That's all. That's all. That is why if you don't preach to your people, you are wicked. You know that they are going to hell and you don't guide them away from hell. You have seen a baby crawling to a table, holding the tablecloth, pulling it, and the cloth is coming and on top is boiling oil and you are quiet. I mean, the baby is happily pulling the tablecloth. What's coming? And you are there watching, and at the top is the oil they are frying the kelewele with, or the yam, and it's coming nearer and nearer and nearer to the child, and you are watching. You say, this child, be careful, oh. This child, you, hey child, where's your mommy? Where's your daddy? This child, and you are watching, and the child is pulling, and children, they can pull, oh. They can pull tablecloth. Hey. When it comes to pulling, they pull. And you are just watching. What are you? Wicked. Wicked. And that is what some of you are. If you have sat in this room and you have never preached, I told you, failure. If you don't preach the gospel, let me tell you, you are a big time failure. Oh yes, not this exam that you are passing. You see, amen? Yeah. This exam, they are getting A's and B's, no C's. Oh yeah, as your wife or husband and one or two children's, you are getting that exam, you will pass. But the final exam, it is appointed unto a man once to die. After that judgment, that exam you will fail. You will fail it big time if you don't have one or two or three or four souls to your credit. When you get there, you are failing. Remember me. I may be in heaven. I can see you from heaven. You also see me from the Zongo of heaven. You also, we can see ourselves. You are see ourselves. You'll be in Zongo in heaven. I'll be. How do I know? I've seen prophetic visions. You'll be in Zongo. I'll be somewhere. Yeah. You don't believe me. The day you hear my voice, I'll be shouting heaven. I think I'll say I told you so. I think I'll say in heaven I told you so. When I get to heaven and I see you far away down there at the bottom of the line with nothing, no soul, they say, oh, where's your reward? Where are your things? I have nothing. And you are down there. I will be in heaven. And see heaven, they can see far because they can see hell. So Bob, you can see all of heaven. I will see you and I'll say, you, I told you were in my church. At least I preached to you several Sundays. I will say, Lord, this particular girl, don't mind her. Don't show her mercy at all. Because Lord, I told her. She can't say she didn't know. Yeah, I think I'm a wicked pastor. I'm trying to save you from failure. That's all. I'm trying to help you not fail the real exam. All these exams by human beings, people drop out of university and become billionaires. My friend, but he dropped out of medical school. Now he's a multi-millionaire. He's in Ghana here. Oh yes, he dropped out of university, of medical school. Oh, Gabby knows him. So as for school, dear, don't fail. But if you fail, it's not a problem. Don't fail. If you fail, dear, don't worry. There are ways and means to still succeed in life by serving God and doing other things. But as for that exam, the final one, Judgment Day, that one, please pass that exam. I didn't hear amen. Amen. I didn't hear amen. Amen. Pass that one. And the only question is, what did you do with your life? What did your life? And because, see, with this mind, sometimes walking away from somebody is difficult because I want to try one more time to save him, but some walk away. Amen. Amen. Knowing that the child is pulling his oil, you will try to pull him away. You will try to save him, but know that some people leave them, walk away from them. Amen. I don't know whether you're not listening to me. Number 15, be ready to go back and check on them again. That's the paradox. So be ready to go after walking away. Number 15, be ready to go back and check on them again. Number 15, talk again after giving up. Acts 15:36. After some days, and some days after, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of God and see how they do. Hallelujah. That's the paradox of being a Christian. After you have preached and been rejected and turned away and they didn't mind you, then you walk away and you go. After some time, come back and try again. Come back and try again. Come back and talk to them again. The one who rejected you, the one who didn't mind you, are you listening to me? after a time, what do you do? Come back and try again. Because otherwise, the consequences, you see, the result of them not being saved is too bad for even cutting off their hand is good. Of a thief. Even cutting off their hand is a very good, is a very mild punishment. Cut off both hands of a thief and then let him go like that with his hands like this, like a crab. Let him go like that. It's a mild punishment compared to what he will face if he doesn't change. I mean, if there's somebody, is a girl is refusing to listen to you, let her go and get pregnant. She's 17-year-old girl, 15-year-old girl. I say, listen, leave the boys. She refuses. Let her go. Go and get pregnant. Go and let the boys have sex with you and make it into a toy. It's better. It's far better than what will happen to her if she's not born again. As far as your only pregnancy, after all, what? The baby will adopt the baby and then will give you SMA for the baby. We'll feed the baby, give her a scholarship. Baby will go to school. And then you just be home. It doesn't matter. We'll find a way to keep the baby alive. What is the problem? But if that person doesn't change, the eternal damnation of hell is so wicked. So even when you are angry and you walk away and you have gone, just come back and say, let me try one more time. Are you listening to me? Let me try one more time. Your roommate, your next door neighbor, you have spoken now. The guy is just rather insulting Christians. Say, hey, you people, you like us. He's rather giving you comments. They were insulting Paul. And you are now also feeling offended. You deserve hell, which is true. But no one deserves hell. Only Satan deserves hell. And so look at, let me show you. What's number, what? 16. Number 16. Is very important. If you are not emotionally or deeply touched, you will not be successful. If your heart is not in this thing, Acts 17 and verse 16. While Paul was waiting for Silas and Timothy in Athens, he was upset because he saw that the city was full of idols. Look at the King James. He was stirred in his spirit. You see, you cannot become a preacher if you don't feel something. You cannot go and just say, pastor said I should come and talk to you. So point one, men are sinners. Point two, you deserve punishment. Point three, you have to bow your knee to Jesus Christ. Point four, when you pray, you'll be saved. Point five, join me to church. That doesn't work. You cannot just go and give facts. Your heart must be in it. And that is where maybe we feel the most. Or pastor, what do you think? That's where maybe, because few of us have any feeling of compassion towards people. Every time I see gone too soon or something, it pains me. I'm just happy that we lost a little girl. Last 2 weeks or something, 17 years old. When I was not happy at all at somebody, but you know what comforted me? I was talking to Reverend William. He said, this particular girl, she's serious. This girl is serious. She can't speak good English, but she remembers, she is alert in the meetings and she pays attention. And this girl, everything you ask her, she will tell you. And she's the one who tries. I was comforted. Yeah, I was comforted. Because, tell anybody, we are not sure every member, hey, is going to heaven. Tap me the best thing, we are not sure who. Come, bring microphone. Take a microphone and say it. Her first Sunday here.
First two Sundays, she came to the adult church. And then subsequently went to the city. So but her first Sunday here, when you made all time, but she came for her to give her life to Christ.
Clap for her. No, you see, I can't remember the person. So I was trying to remember the person. You remember the person? Oh, I couldn't remember the person. So I was asking more questions. What where did we fail? They said, oh no, no, no. She was into the church. Ah, I'm happy. But you, hey, for many of you, I don't have any clear sign. Do you understand clear sign? All I have is you are coming to church. That's all. That you are sitting here listening to my voice. That's all I have. That you are looking at me. That's all I have. What does it mean? It's the same way you go and watch football. I don't care who wins. I don't care who. Sometimes my friends are all going to watch. I went with them. I don't care who wins. If your heart is not into this thing, you will not be successful. And if you are not successful, that's the real failure. That's the please ask your neighbor, how many souls have you won since you were born to this world? 1982 79 63 42 19 2001. Please tap your neighbor, ask him how many. Oh, please, hold the neighbor's dress or the collar, or if she's a girl, even hold her hair. Just don't remove their wig. Just hold the person and say how many. Please ask them how many people. Hey, you're not asking me. Ask them how many people have you personally led to Christ, prayed with them to give their heart to become born again and give their life to Jesus. How many souls? How many? If it is, I don't know, or I think one. Listen, you are failing. Otiasi, you are failing. You are failing. You are in danger of a real disaster. You are in danger of having served God. You say that, ah, but Lord, didn't I pray? Didn't I? God said all those things are not what I'm looking for. Sacrifice? No, no, no. That's not what I want. I want mercy. I want obedience. I don't want sacrifice. I've paid my tithe all these years. Who said I need your money? Who said I need your money? Who said I need your income? I don't need it. What I need is go out and tell somebody about Jesus. That's what I need from you. That's all I need from you. I don't need anything else. If the prophet tells us early in his Christian life, Sundays, he was too tired to go to church. He said Sundays was a day of rest because he was a Christian every day meetings, going out, doing crusades every single day. Then Sunday, he's so tired, he's resting. That's our bishop today, oh. Yeah, Sunday church, coming here on Sunday. Let me be honest with you. It doesn't mean much if your heart is not fully committed to God. It doesn't mean much if from Monday to Saturday, you don't serve God. Your being here on Sunday means little or nothing. If Monday to Friday, you're not a serious Christian in your room, in your class, among, it means nothing. You are just a hypocrite walking among us. You're just coming to, do you know a facade? Just a face, a picture. Let's go and cut pictures and put them in the chairs. Go to the art studio, make a life-size model, and put them in all the chairs. The hall is full. It's the same. If you are not going to serve God Monday to Friday, you are coming here Sunday to sit in church and mark register. Tell somebody you are not serious. Tell your neighbor you are not serious. Please tell your neighbor, look, I think you have made the man very become disturbed. I think you shouldn't have come today. You have made the man preach by heart, be some kind of by heart preaching. Because of you, he's saying all this. Tell your neighbor, because of you, he's saying what he's saying. What is it about coming to church hypocrites? He's insulting us, all hypocrites. He's insulting us as liars and thieves. Because of you. Because I want, look at me, everybody. I want everybody to go to heaven with a reward. I don't want you to wake up and then you are in hell. Then you are saying that, ah, but I was a Christian. No, you are a church goer. You are a church goer. You are not a Christian. You are a pew warmer. You are here as a chair sitter. Yeah, you are a chair sitter. You are not. Please ask your neighbor one more time. How many souls have you ever led to Christ? Ask your neighbor one more time. How many souls have you led to Christ? What did he say? And don't accept silence. This silence has been, look, if this silence has been an excuse for them to escape accountability, silence has been a way to just brush it off and then continue as normal. No, I want an answer. Please hold your neighbor and I don't care if today we service doesn't end, we are quarreling when service ends. No, they say, oh, I've torn my dress. And please, have you hold her? Hold her neighbor and say, oh, leave me alone. Leave me alone. Don't come to church again. Go to, there's a church here. There's one here. There's one here. There are three here. There are many churches. Go there. Don't come here again. Hold the person. Ask him, how many souls have you led to Christ in your life since you were born 1972, 83, 94, 2001? How many souls have you led to Christ? What did he say? What did he say? What are they saying? What? Don't accept silence. Three gentlemen in a line, all are looking down. Pastor Henry, please go to them. Ask them one by one, how many souls? Next time, be angry and don't come to church again. I don't care. Ask them, how many souls have you in your lifetime since you were born, 1972, 83, 94, 2001, have you led to Christ? Have you led to Christ? How many souls? Ask them. They were all, and don't say, I guess. You have born children. You don't know how many children you have born. I'm very serious this morning. I'm very serious this morning. How many souls? Two. I hope it has two, because two is dangerously close to zero. In case the two are born again, it's very close to zero. If you say 20, like if you mean half a mistake, crowd, then other 10 actually became born again. Two, they were just getting you off their backs. Hey, it must be. You have been in church for how many years and you are saying two? Come on, wake up and be serious about your Christianity. Tell your neighbor, sitting in church to this pastor means nothing. Sitting in church, sitting here in this church, listening to my voice, it means nothing. Oh, what does the Jeremiah, Hosea 7:14 or 20, I've forgotten. It says, to you are like a song that sings sweet songs. You're like a bird that sings sweet songs. They hear you, but don't follow you. They're talking to Jeremiah the prophet. You are like a bird that sings sweet songs. They just hear you, but don't follow what you say. That's what many of us are. Just nice happiness in church. That's not what we are after. You must be a soul winner. Amen. I said you must be a soul winner. That is the real failure of this world. No other failure qualifies as a failure. No other failure. Many failures, they are stepping stones to something greater. Oh yes, you discover when you grow, you have not grown. You see that many failures are actually a blessing in disguise. Many things, that's why Romans 8:28 is there for us. All things work together for good. That's what it means. Everything's working together for your good. But if you are going to be a real failure, don't win souls. Amen. I said amen. Listen. Our time is gone. Number 17. Back it with prayer. Number 18. As you talk to one person, another may respond. It's amazing. Number 17. Back it with prayer. Number 18. As you talk to one person, another may respond. It's amazing. You call one person, he won't come. Then somebody else comes. It's amazing. Number 19. When you think it's not working, that's when it's actually working. Because it is God doing, not you. You are talking to a person, he's looking at you blank. Maybe God is working on his heart. He's thinking in his head. His sins have become plenty in his eyes. When you think it's not working, sometimes that's when it's really working. You'll be amazed that the person will go away and then come and later on accept that Jesus is Lord. And number 20, you will make a big difference. You will make a big difference if you just go out and try. Acts 17 and verse 6. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Those who have caused confusion and brought sanity and changed people's lives everywhere, they are here too." That's what they will say about you.
Thank you for listening. If you have been blessed by this message, please share it with someone who might also need to hear it. The Bible says, "The Lord gave the word, and great was the company that published it." To share a testimony or to request prayer, send us a message on WhatsApp to +2 332 059 112 75. God bless you.